America's 41st president, George H.W. Bush, is lying in state tonight at the U.S. Capitol. He passed away on Friday at the age of 94. Today, the president's body was escorted from a funeral home in Houston to Ellington Airport. Hundreds gathered there for a farewell ceremony with full military honors. Mr. Bush's family, including his son, former President George W. Bush, and former First Lady Laura Bush, traveled with the casket on a presidential plane to Washington. Later, at a Capitol ceremony, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, House Speaker Paul Ryan, and Vice President Pence gave eulogies before the rotunda was opened to the public.
President George Herbert Walker Bush loved his family, and he served his country. His example will always inspire, and his lifetime of service will be enshrined in the hearts of the American people forever.
The lying in state and public viewing will continue until Wednesday morning, when a state funeral takes place. We'll look at the life and legacy of President George H.W. Bush after the news summary. In the day's other news, President Trump and his top aides touted progress in the U.S.-China trade dispute. He and President Xi Jinping agreed Saturday to hold off on increasing tariffs, and the U.S. says Xi promised to buy more U.S. exports. Today, White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow followed up on Mr. Trump's claim that China will also cut tariffs on American cars to zero.
Well, they're going to roll back their auto tariffs. I assume they're going to roll them all the way back. I can't say with specificity, but that's got to be part of the deal. We know that. See, here's a case where actions speak louder than words. So we will be monitoring everything.
The president also tweeted today that China will immediately start buying U.S. farm products again. Later, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue said he expects China to resume buying U.S. soybeans around January 1st. Wall Street welcomed news of the truce on trade with China. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained nearly 288 points to close at 25,826. The Nasdaq rose almost 111 points, and the S&P 500 added 30. In Paris, the Prime Minister of France held crisis talks with party leaders today after the worst riots there in 50 years. Saturday's trouble started with protests against higher fuel taxes. They turned violent as crowds burned cars, looted shops, and vandalized national monuments. Today, ambulance workers joined in, blocking a bridge to the National Assembly over Social Security reforms.
We hope that the government will see reason and suspend this law for now, so we can discuss it and work together to find new solutions which will satisfy everyone. But today, no one is satisfied. Not us, not the government, not our patients, nor our employees.
The protests have targeted French President Emmanuel Macron over a range of economic inequality issues. Qatar will be leaving the international oil cartel known as OPEC in January. The small Gulf state made the surprise announcement today amid ongoing tensions with Saudi Arabia. Qatar is the largest exporter of liquid natural gas in the world, but it contributes only a modest amount of OPEC's overall production. A United Nations conference on climate opened today in Poland with appeals to implement the Paris Climate Accord of 2015. It's called for capping greenhouse gas emissions and limiting this century's average temperature increases to 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Delegates from some 200 countries convened in Katowice in the heart of Poland's coal region. British naturalist Sir David Attenborough spoke on the urgency of the problem.
We're facing a man-made disaster of global scale, our greatest threat in thousands of years, climate change. If we don't take action, the collapse of our civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world is on the horizon. The world's people have spoken. Their message is clear. Time is running out.
The conference is supposed to hammer out rules to put the Paris Accord into practice. Last year, President Trump withdrew the United States from the agreement. Back in this country, thousands of children in Northern California returned to school after the nation's deadliest wildfire in a century. They came back for the first time since November 8th, when the firestorm destroyed eight schools and thousands of homes.
I thought today the most courageous and brave people were the parents and students. When they came out of that car and they were walking down the street, to watch those parents get their children up this morning, get those kids ready for school, and to deal with all the emotions they dealt with is as equal to everyone else working hard to help us.
The confirmed death count from the fire remains at 88, but the number still missing is now at 25. And the NASA spacecraft OSIRIS-REx chased down the asteroid Bennu today after a two-year pursuit. It aims to be the first American craft to bring back asteroid samples, something only Japan has done. The robot explorer will enter orbit later this month and shadow the space rock for a year. Then it'll scoop up gravel and return to Earth in 2023. Still to come on the News Hour, the nation reflects on the life of George H.W. Bush. What we know about a new trade deal with China. How a small Kentucky town's economy is moving from coal to healthcare. Plus, our Politics Monday team explores the political legacy of the 41st president.